In reading in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For on it you shall not do work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien living within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Father God, we pray, Lord, as we look at your word this evening, that we might understand what the Sabbath is all about and how it relates to our lives today. So we pray, Lord, that you might keep all that which might distract us out of the way. And Father, may we be attentive to your word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1981, there was a movie made called Chariots of Fire. Maybe some of you remember it. It was about a guy named Eric Liddell, and he was in the Olympics, and he was going to run the 200-meter race. But they found out during the Olympics that that race would be on a Sunday. So could you imagine working out, practicing, running for years and years and years? You finally get your opportunity at the Olympics, and Eric Liddell finds out it's on a Sunday, and he believed to run on a Sunday would break the Sabbath commandment, the fourth of the Ten Commandments, so he chooses not to run. And all those years of practice, all those years of work, all those years of efforts went down the drain, because he felt to run would break the Sabbath. What does the Bible say about the Sabbath, and how does that relate to our lives today? And should Eric have run, or should he not have run? Well, let's look at the Word of God. And let's begin with the command concerning the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to notice three things as we look at this command. The first is this, the basis for the command. The basis for the command. I want you to notice the very first word in our Bible here in verse 8. It says, remember. Remember the Sabbath day. So as God gives this commandment to Moses, it's the fourth of the ten, he is reminding him of a previous time. He's reminding him of the first Sabbath day. And based on that first Sabbath day, he's about to give this command. So hold your finger here and turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have the 7 days, 6 days of creation, then the Sabbath day. And in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we have the very first Sabbath. Follow me as I begin reading in verse 1. Thus the heaven and the earth were complete in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So when you come to Genesis chapter 20 and verse 8, God is speaking to Moses, giving the Ten Commandments, and he says, remember that day. Remember the day when I rested on the days of creation. So God works, creates first day, creates second day, creates third, creates fourth, fifth, sixth. When it comes to the seventh day, he stops from creating and he rests. Here in this fourth commandment, he's pointing back to that day. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. Did God get tired? You know, he's creating and then, you know, the entire universe, and the universe is vast. Did, you know, God just get wiped out like we do at work, and he needed to rest? Well, the word rest simply means to cease from labor, to stop creating. So that's what God did on the seventh day. He just simply stopped creating. That seventh day, he did not create at all. So everything we see, and even things we can see, everything that exists, they were all created in those first 6 days of creation. And then God rested. In fact, you know, you Many of you, when you were in school, were probably taught evolution and told that, the whole biblical account of creation is just some kind of, fanciful story that really isn't real and just tells some good truths. I want you to know, in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God tells us what he did on those 6 days, and those 6 days are literal. And those 6 days are 24-hour periods of time, and it is in those days that God did the creating. And I want you to know what you learned in school. If you learned evolution in school, it takes more faith to believe evolution than it does to believe in biblical creationism. And there's more science behind biblical creationism than there is behind evolution. So God, in speaking in the Ten Commandments, points back to that time, says, look, 7 day I rested. I ceased from my labor, and that is the principle, that is the example that I'm using to base this commandment on. Sabbath day. In fact, the word Sabbath itself means rest period. Or we can define it this way, a period of time for resting. That's what the word means. And that's what God did. He rested on the seventh day. And notice here he says, verse 8 of Exodus 20, remember that day, remember the Sabbath day. How do you remember it? By keeping it holy. The word holy means separate, to separate. So God, in instituting this Sabbath, says there are 7 days in a week. The first 6 days are all the same. 6 days work, 6 days do all your labor. But on this seventh day, you are to keep the seventh day holy. This seventh day is to be separate from the other six. It is to be holy. It is to be different. It is not to be like the other six. It is the Sabbath. It is a different day than the others. Notice we're told here that the Israelites were not to work. No one in their house was to work. No animal was to work. Nothing was to happen on the Sabbath. Now, for the Jew, they didn't reckon time like we do today. For the Jew, the Sabbath would have started Friday night, and it would run through Saturday morning, through Saturday afternoon, until Saturday evening. A Jew would reckon his calendar. It's still 24/7, but it would be from the evening before to the next evening. It wouldn't be from morning till evening like we look at our days today. So for the Israelites, Sabbath was Friday night into Saturday night. That would be the Sabbath for them, the seventh day for them, that they would cease from their work. So that's the basis for this command. It's the first Sabbath. But I want you also to know the reason for the command. Notice the reason for this command. I want to go back to the verse or to the phrase I just said. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So this seventh day was to be separate from the other 6 days, and the reason for the seventh day to be different from the other days is that the purpose of it was to be a holy day, to be a different day. Now in this day, two things would happen for the Israelite. The first thing that would happen, or the first purpose for the Sabbath, was that it was to be a day of rest. A day when we would not work. God created the Sabbath for man to give him a time for rest. Now, in America today, most people work 5 days. In fact, we're even changing that. Now some of us work 4 days, 10-hour days. Very few people anymore work 6 days, although many people still do. God says, God's standard was you work 6 days, and 1 day for rest, 1 day to recuperate, 1 day to not work, 1 day that would be set aside, a day for rest. Sabbath was created for man to give him a rest day. Exodus chapter 23, verse 12 says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household, and the alien as well may be refreshed. Mark 2:27, then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God appointed it for us to be a work-free day. A day when we can rest, a day when we can set aside from our schedule. And certainly in our overscheduled lives today, it's not a bad thing to be reminded of. That we take a day to allow our bodies to restore themselves, to allow our bodies to be refreshed. By Jesus' day, the Sabbath had become a burden. It was no longer what it was meant to do. It was never meant to be a time where in which you enslaved people, but by Jesus' day, as religious leaders so often do, they take what God said and they make it into something totally different. In fact, in the Zondervan Victorial Dictionary, I looked up the Sabbath day and the Jewish leaders in trying to explain people, just like today. You know, people wonder, what can I do on Sunday and what shouldn't I do on Sunday? And they would come to the Pharisees and they would ask that question. They would come to the Jewish leaders and say, you know, what's okay to do on the Sabbath? Well, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, got very, very specific. Listen to this. Jewish leaders got very specific when it came to classifying exactly what was work and what was not. The following 39 principal classes were prohibited as work. Listen how silly this gets. Sowing, plowing, reaping, gathering in the sheaves, threshing, winnowing, cleansing, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing wool, washing, beating, dyeing, spinning, making a warp of it, making two cords, weaving two threads, separating two threads, making a knot, untying a knot, sewing two stitches, catching a deer, killing, skinning, salting it, preparing its hide, scraping off its hair, cutting it up, writing two letters, blotting out for the purpose of writing two letters, building, pulling down, extinguishing, lighting a fire, beating with a hammer, and carrying from one property to another. If you did any of those things, that was considered work, and you had just sinned and broken the Sabbath. Most of these general categories were then further elaborated on with the outcome that the Jews had several hundred activities that they must avoid on the Sabbath day if they were to follow the letter of the law. For example, the prohibition about tying a knot was much too general, so it became necessary to state what kind of knots were prohibited and what kind were not. Allowable knots were those that could be untied with one hand. So if you made a knot, but you can untie it with one hand, that was allowable. A woman can tie up her undergarment and the strings of her cap, those of her girdle, the straps of her shoes, and sandals of skins of wine and oil, a pot with meat. She could not tie a pail over the well with a girdle, but not with rope, because it would take two hands and tie the knot tied with rope. So if you use one hand, it was okay, but if you had to use two hands, that became work. See how crazy this sometimes got? People got to the point where they didn't even think, where they kind of got all out of whack. And what God created to be a day of rest actually became a burden. And that's what happened by the time of Jesus' day. In fact, in Mark chapter 12, you find Jesus healing on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees quickly running over and saying, "What are you doing?" And Jesus said, "Well, I heal this man." They said, "Well, you can't do that on the Sabbath. That's work." So to help your fellow man became work and something that you couldn't even do on a Sabbath. In fact, in John chapter 5, we find Jesus doing the very same thing. He's healing a man on the Sabbath, ridding him of his disease. And the Bible tells us because he did that, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, tried to kill him because they said he broke the Sabbath. The problem was not the Sabbath. The problem was not the fourth commandment. The problem was not with what God created. The problem, as so often is what religious people did to God's creation. They made it something it was never intended to do, and it became a burden to people instead of something that actually helped them. Well, not only was the Sabbath created to be a day of rest, but there was a second reason why God created the Sabbath. It was to be a day of corporate worship. A day of corporate worship. Again, notice Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. God is talking about that day not only to be a day when you rest, but it was a day that was to be holy to God. It was on this day that the Israelites would gather together for worship. It was on this day that all the Israelites would come together for what we would call corporate worship, where they would worship as a body, as a nationality, and they would all come before God, and in God's presence, they would worship. It is interesting today, but so often people say today, yeah, I can have a relationship with God and I don't have to go to church. I can have a relationship with God, but I don't need the church. Well, I want you to know the whole idea behind the Sabbath was a day when individual believers would come together with other individual believers and families of believers, and they would gather together to worship God. That was part of the reason why God created the Sabbath. Well, the Bible makes very clear that if you are a Christian, if you say that you're a follower of God, if you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, it is absolutely impossible to make that claim and not regularly, consistently go to church and spend time in corporate worship. That is the purpose behind the Sabbath. In fact, Max Lucado said it this way: the Sabbath is also designed to remind us of our point of reference. Once a week, the children of Israel and the followers of the Savior are to stop and look toward heaven. You see, we were not simply to take a day off. We were also supposed to make the day holy. The Sabbath is the day when God's children in a foreign land squeeze their father's hand and say, "I don't know where I am. I don't know how I'll get home. But you do, and that's enough for me." We see this in the example of the Israelites. It was not for slothful inactivity. You know, it wasn't for, you know, sitting in front of the TV and watching football, although that can be part of it. But it was that time, the cycle of the week, when God said, "Look, you are to come before me as a group of people, and you are to worship me. And spend time with other believers worshiping God." And that's why when you see in the New Testament, Hebrews 10:25, it says, look, don't stop gathering together. Don't stop going to church as some were in the habit of doing. But we are to continue on a weekly basis, spend time in corporate worship. Well, by Jesus' day, the Sabbath had been broken. That's the third thing I'd like us to look at in relationship to this command, the Sabbath broken. That's not in your notes, but write letter C, the Sabbath broken. Not even long after Jesus talking about the Sabbath day, and even before, in fact, Exodus chapter 20, the Israelites are already breaking the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 16, they were told to go out and collect manna, but on the sixth day, collect enough for 2 days, so the seventh day they could rest, but they didn't do that. Some still went out on the seventh day, and they gathered manna, and the Bible tells us that it began to rot in their teeth. Numbers chapter 15, a man was caught gathering wood on the Sabbath. In Nehemiah chapter 13, the people were breaking the Sabbath. In Jeremiah 17, the people are again breaking the Sabbath. So we find this command that God had given the Israelites that on one hand they made so many rules that you could never follow them, and then on the other hand they just became disobedient to God and didn't keep it as a day separate to be holy. And I think the pinnacle of breaking the Sabbath day is found in John chapter 19. Turn there in your Bible with me. I think the worst example in all the Bible of really breaking the Sabbath and the meaning behind the Sabbath is found in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I want to begin reading in verse 28. The story picks up in verse 28 of Jesus hanging on the cross. They're dying for our sin. It says, later, knowing that all was completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it to put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So Jesus shouts out, "It is finished," and he dies. Verse 31. Now it was a day of preparation, and the next day was to be the special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Now, I want you to notice the hypocrisy of all this. They're there killing Jesus. They did all they could, the religious leaders, had Jesus put on that cross. But because the next day was the Sabbath, a religious day, the day that was supposed to be holy, what did they do? They go to the Roman leaders and say, "You know what? We don't want these guys hanging on the cross on the Sabbath, so go and break their legs so they'll die." Now, you remember, I've mentioned this before, but the way you would actually die on a cross was not from bleeding to death. It was from suffocation. And they would put that little piece of wood on the bottom of the cross, and they would put your feet on it so that you would be able to push yourself up, and you'd be able to get a breath. But after a while, you would get so tired, you couldn't lift your body up to get that breath, and ultimately everything would just come down on your lungs, and you would die. Now, there are examples in Jesus' day and before that some people lived as long as 2 weeks before they would die on the cross. But the next day was a religious day. So these guys who sought to kill Jesus said, "Go break their legs so they won't be able to lift themselves up anymore," and they would suffocate and die. Well, when they get to Jesus, the prediction was that Jesus, no bone in his body would be broken. So when they get to Jesus, they find out he's already dead. So what do? They stick a sword through his side just to make sure he's dead. And because of all that happened, they were certain that Jesus was already dead. So here are these guys, and all those things I had just read that they said you couldn't do, well, you know, we want to make sure the guy we sought to kill isn't still on the cross on our holy day, so let's get rid of him. And that's what they do. Well, what does all this mean to us today? Are we still under the fourth commandment? Are we to obey the fourth commandment like all the other commandments? Well, turn with me in your Bible to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I want to begin reading in verse 13. "When you were dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." So when Jesus died on the cross, he nailed the old judicial system to it, part of that being the Sabbath day. So let me say secondly tonight, the Lord's day is not the Sabbath. The Lord's Day is not the Sabbath, and as Christians, we are no longer held responsible to keep the Sabbath day. God nailed it to the cross, and he tells us here in verse 16, look, don't let anyone judge you according to the Sabbath. So what then does all this mean for us? Let me say a couple of things. Number one, the church began to meet on Sunday instead of Saturday, like the Jews had done, because it was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. I just want to look at a couple of verses. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. First day of the week, they came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 also gives the same kind of idea. First day of the week, they gathered together and they gave in the offering. So the church, as they looked at all that was going on in right after Jesus had died from the cross, was buried, and then rose from the dead, and realizing when Christ died on the cross, the old judicial system was no longer valid. Church giving us the example said, look, we're not under the Sabbath day anymore. It's been nailed to the cross. We no longer can judge someone by the Sabbath day. So instead of meeting on the sixth day of the week, let's meet on the first day of the week, because that is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. The Jewish Sabbath commemorated creation. The Christian day of worship commemorates redemption. Christians worship on Sunday because of the resurrection. The church began meeting on Sunday as the day for two things. Same as the Sabbath, a day to rest and a day for corporate worship. So Sunday is not the Sabbath. We haven't kind of changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. But there's a sense in which that the Sabbath principle is still alive today. And we might say Sunday is Sabbath-like, but not the Sabbath. A day for us to gather together for corporate worship as Christians, because the day Christ rose from the dead. A day for us to rest from our labors, to rest from our work. So, you know, if you're laid out on a couch on Sunday and you're watching football, that's okay because you are resting. If you are going to the park and maybe playing basketball and that's giving you rest, that's okay too. It is to be a day of rest. But firstly, the priority, it's a day of worship. A day for us to corporately, as a body of believers, to worship God. Then secondly, it is a day of rest. Just like in the case of the Israelites as they celebrated the Sabbath. You know, nowhere in the New Testament is a Christian commanded to observe the Sabbath. All throughout the Old Testament, the Sabbath is mentioned over and over and over again. I gave you passages all through the Old Testament, many I didn't even mention. But when you get to the New Testament, the only time it is mentioned is in relation to the people of Israel. It is never mentioned in relation to the believer, to the Christian. We are no longer required to keep the Sabbath today. In fact, for the Christian today, you know what? We are not told to keep one day more holy than another. We are told today that every day is just as holy as one another. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Sabbath was essentially Jewish, which explains its absence in the New Testament. But again, that principle is there, that principle to worship God, that principle is there to have a time of rest. But we need to be careful that we don't do with Sunday what the Jews did with the Sabbath Saturday. Notice in Romans chapter 14 and verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers each day or every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He regards one day as special, does so to the Lord. He who eats meats eats to the Lord, and for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So for the Christian, all days are holy. Not just that one day like the Israelite for the Sabbath. For us, every single day is holy. And every single day, we ought to be worshiping God. But Sunday is the day when we gather together as a group of people to worship God. The principle is still valid today. Remember, it was based on creation. Though we no longer under the Sabbath restrictions like the Jews were in their day, we still need to set aside a day in which we rest, a day in which we worship God as a body of believers. I believe that we should get all that we can done in the other days. And if you have, and you know, often people say, well, should I work on Sunday then? Well, you know, there are some jobs where you have to work on a Sunday. Pat, with us tonight, is a police officer. You know, we can't tell all the cops, you know, go leave the jails and leave, you all to precincts and we don't want you around on Sunday. I'm sure the criminals would love that. The bad guys would go nuts. There are some things you have to do on Sunday and really don't have much choice. But you know what? I think there's an awful lot of jobs where you really do have a choice, and we really could say, you know, let me get around working on Sunday. In fact, let me say this. If you work so much or do other things so much that you do not consistently worship with the body of believers consistently, then you really need to question what you're doing. You really need to question, can I do this maybe between services or maybe after service or maybe in the morning and then I come to church at night or maybe at night and then I come to church in the morning? But if you're not consistently taking your family to worship and consistently worship God with a body of believers, I want you to know ultimately that's going to affect your family. You may have every right to do the job that you're doing, but if you're not out there with your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, and bringing your family to church instead of saying going to church, that will have an impact on your family. As I mentioned before, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." Some churches have now begun to meet on Saturday instead of Sunday, and some for some people that helps them because maybe they do have to work on a Sunday. But I think for the vast majority of people, they say, great, let's go on Saturday, and then we have the whole day to ourselves on Sunday. Or some people say, well, I'll go really early on Sunday morning if there's multiple services, so then I can have the rest of the day to myself. That is not what the day is supposed to be all about. It's not just a day of rest. It's not just a day to be selfish. It's a day to bring your family and be with your family, but first of all, worshiping God, and then secondly, spending time in rest. Each day, we as Christians are given to serve God. Each day, we as Christians are to make it holy to Him. Yet Sunday is a day given, is the example of the New Testament church where we do rest and we set it aside to corporately worship God. So how do you decide what you do on Sunday? How do you decide whether something is biblical or not, whether it's okay or not okay? Well, I'm not going to sit down like the Pharisees did and begin writing out a whole list of, you know, thousands and thousands of rules and say, you do this and you do that. Let me give you three basic thoughts. Number one, and with this we'll finish. Number one, the Bible clearly teaches that Sunday is not the Sabbath, but it is a day for corporate Christian worship. It is a day, the example of the New Testament believers, where we gather together as a body of believers to worship God. And if you are not regularly worshiping God, then you really need to evaluate your life and say and ask, is what I'm doing really worth it? Is what I'm doing really have greater value than spending time with my family on a regular basis in church, worshiping with a body of believers? Secondly, it has also been set aside as a day of rest. You know, if you work 7 days a week, if all you are is gone out all the time, then and you're not spending time with your family, you're not spending time with other people, you're not spending time getting rest, you will ultimately beat yourself to death and die an early death. The New Testament example is here, even the Old Testament example is there, that although the Sabbath is not required of us anymore, certainly the principle is there, and that we need to give ourselves a time of rest. Third, beyond everything I just said, third, follow your conscience. Follow your conscience, let the Word of God lead you. Could Eric Liddell have ran in that race? Biblically, yes. But his conscience told him no, so therefore he probably shouldn't have ran in the race. Sunday is not the New Testament Saturday. It is a day for rest. It is the day for corporate worship. It is the principle we see throughout the Bible. And I think if we don't follow that principle, where we take a day of rest, maybe for someone else it's a Saturday or a Tuesday, whatever, but you take a day of rest and you gather together with God's people, worshiping together in a corporate body, if you don't do that, I believe you are breaking the principle that God has set down that we ought to rest and we ought to gather together with the body of believers for worship. That day, as Max Lucado said, that day where we grab out and we reach out to God and we kind of get our lives on center, we get our lives back focused where it needs to be. You know, we live in a crazy world, don't we? We live in a world where every moment it wants to pull us away from God. We live in a world where you look out at the wickedness and the sinfulness and the ugliness of this life. Man, there's got to be a day where you get back together with Christians and you kind of get centered again, you get in God's Word again, and you get away from all that junk. And that's the day, that's the example we have in the Sabbath, in the Christian believers when they began to gather on Sunday. Let's stand for closing word of prayer. Father God, help us, according to your word, according to what you've put in our conscience, to do the right thing. Help us, Lord, to consistently find time for rest so that we don't abuse these bodies you've given us. And help us, Father, consistently to spend time with other believers in worship. Help us to realize that if we do follow you, we must spend time with others who also follow you. Help us, Father, to worship you in a way that brings you pleasure. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.